We're holding on Kuf Aleph, Amud Aleph, the second line. Talking about this whole matter of Aninus, person's relative passed away, he's an Onin for a period of time. Exactly how long is that period? Does it include the night afterwards? So now we're going to discuss the story with Moshe and Aaron and Aaron's sons and the korban that was burnt in Parshas Shemini, from which, as we go through the discussion, it's going to emerge from there a lot about this matter of Aninus and when exactly it applies. The story in brief, you have on the 8th day of the Miluim, they brought all the Korbanos. Nadav and Avihu went and brought Eish Zara, and they were killed by a fire from Hashem. Later on, Moshe tells Moshe and Aaron and his sons that nevertheless you're still to eat the Korbanos that are being brought this day. later on, Moshe finds one of the Korbanos has been burnt. We'll talk about later which Korban it was. And Moshe gets angry at Aaron and his sons. How could they do that? And they have a whole discussion back and forth. And as the Gemara is going to say, Moshe goes through various possibilities. Did it get burnt because of this, because of that, because of the other? And finally, Aaron explains to him that, look, we're owning him today. And granted that we did the Avoda, and granted that we're eating some of the Korbanos, but there are other Korbanos that we don't eat, as now we're going to go through the discussion and different opinions of Tanoim on the subject of what exactly happened. The upshot is, Vayishma Moshe Vayitav Ve'enav, Moshe heard and it was good in his eyes. He realized that there's a point that Aaron had made, that there's a valid point that Aaron had made.
Why did Aaron have to wait and give all kind of reasons without saying initially he's an Onan? What's the reason for that?
But what happened was Moshe found out, and he doesn't turn to Aaron, he turns to Elazar and Isamar and starts telling them off, how could you do that? So then Aaron intervenes and explains what's going on. Elazar and Isamar weren't going to go speak up for themselves when their father was around and against Moshe Rabbeinu, but Aaron spoke up and explained on their behalf.
Yeah, so, but the question is, why did Aaron wait and give reasons that were not relevant before giving the reason?
He didn't give reasons that are not relevant. He right away explained that there's a difference. We're all owning him. There are certain korbanos that, yes, you told us we're to eat, but that doesn't apply to certain other korbanos. And the one that was burnt is one of the ones where there's a difference, which you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are not realizing that distinction, as we will see as we go through the story. So, the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan." We learn in a Braisa. First of all, you have like this. There's a few times in those psukim that Moshe uses an expression that about a commandment to eat the korbanos of that day. First of all, kichen suvesi. One pasuk is that Moshe says that you should eat the korbanos kichen suvesi because so I was commanded. Then you have a few psukim later when Moshe finds out that the korban has been burnt, and specifically the korban that was burnt, as we're going to talk about, was the chatos of Rosh Chodesh. As Moshe is going to point out later, there were three chatois that were brought on that day. There was one in connection with the Miluim. There was one, it was the first day of the Nesiim bringing their korbanos. Here we just finished Hanukkah and we read about the korbanos of the Nesiim every day. So that day was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Nachshon Ben Aminadav brought his korbanos, which included Si'iris and Mechav Chatos. And then you have, it was also Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so there was also a Surah for Rosh Chodesh, as there usually is. The one that they burnt was the Surah of Rosh Chodesh. So when Moshe first says, Kichen Suvesi, so I was commanded, they eat the Korbanos. A few psukim later, when Moshe is telling off Elazar and Isamar for burning the Korban instead of eating it, he tells them, you should have eaten it, Kashel Suvesi, as I commanded. And then you have a third time in between. You have a pasuk kashet tziva Hashem that Hashem tells that Moshe tells them you should eat the chos of a shoik of the. You have another korban that was brought over there, the shlomim that were brought on behalf of the tzibur, and shlomim as usual. You have the chos of a shoik, the breast and thigh that are waved and given to the kohenim. And there also Moshe repeats that the chosa and the shoik are to be eaten kashet tziva Hashem as Hashem commanded. So what's these three expressions? Kichen suvesi, when he says as I was commanded, that means ba'ninus yechluha. That means he's saying that I was commanded that you should eat it even though you're all owning it now because of Nadav and Avihu. But kashet sivesi, when he says a few psukim later, as I commanded that you should have eaten it, that means v'shas maisa omalahen. That means he told them right on the spot, right after Nadav and Aviyu passed away, that that nevertheless you're still to eat the korbanos. And so now he's saying, so how could you have burnt this korban when I told you v'shas maisa? So now, here we have kashet sivesi, as I commanded, as opposed to before was kashet suvesi. As we're going to see as we go through the discussion now, and what Aaron answers to Moshe, Moshe was in fact not explicitly commanded by Hashem that they should eat the sword of Rosh Chodesh, which is why they ended up burning it. As the Gemara is going to explain, there's a difference between that one and the other two chatois. But Moshe is saying, I commanded you that you should eat it, so why'd you burn it? And the pasuk in between, kashet siva Hashem, means Moshe is telling them, loy me elai, ami omer, when I'm telling you to eat the chos of a shoy, despite the fact that you're eating him, so in other words, what happened when we say b'shas maise, Rashi explains, even though all of a sudden you became eating him, nonetheless, today is different than every other day on which a person might be an Oinen. So now he says, you should have eaten it, kashet sivesi, as I told you a little while ago that you're supposed to eat the korbanos today. As we're going to go later on, as we're going to see, Moshe did not realize or did not hold that there's a distinction between the korban of Rosh Chodesh, which is called kodshei doros, a korban that is also going to be brought in future generations, versus the ones for the miluim, Menachem and Aminadab, which are kodshei shah, which are one-time korbanos. So as far as Moshe is concerned, they're all the same thing. And therefore he argues to Aaron that kashet sivesi, I commanded you to eat, and that means all the korbanos across the board. Then when he says kashet siva Hashem.
So then Aaron was right?
So we're going to see further on. Yeah. Kashet siva Hashem, and when Moshe says in the pasuk in between, as Hashem commanded, that means he's telling them, loy me elai ani omer. I'm not telling you just on my own, that this isn't some idea that I came up with. This is something that Hashem told me. Meaning, in other words, we know there were a few times when Moshe did something on his own, and Hashem afterwards agreed with him. So now Moshe wants to stress to Aaron, this is not one of those things. So the Gemara says, "Ramini, no." However, though, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me that Moshe is informing them that I was told by Hashem that today, even though you're Oinonim, this is different than every other day in history, and therefore you're to eat the korbanos even though you're Oinonim. But Ramini, I have a contradiction on that because the Braisa says, "Mitnean ninus nisufa." In fact, they did end up burning that korban, the korban of Rosh Chodesh, because they were Oinonim. And the Gemara will discuss later why is that necessary. Were there no other Koinim to eat it? Could they not have left it for the night? The Gemara is going to get into all that detail later on. But anyway, they burnt it because they were Oinonim, and therefore they couldn't eat it. L'chach nem or ka'ela. Therefore, Aaron says to Moshe, he says, there happened to me ka'ela, like this. Meaning, in other words, there's this kind of thing that my children passed away, and therefore I'm an Oinim. And we see that Moshe agreed with him, by Yishma Moshe, by Yitzabeino. So we see on the face of it that Moshe was not told they should eat it by Ninus. In other words, so Moshe says to them, you should have eaten it. Aaron says, yes, but we were owning him. And Moshe says, you know what, that's a good point. Well, then that means they were not supposed to eat it by Ninus. So how is the first Braisa saying that Moshe was told by Hashem that they should eat it despite the fact of owning him? The answer is almost small. Lo kasha, horav Yehuda, horav Nechemya. The difference is there are two brises. The two brises represent the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya as far as what happened over here. The Tanya, as we learn in a brisa.
How can there be two brises when it's so obvious that there's only one possible answer? How Rabbi Chaya could say you could have eaten it.
Hold on. We know that Moshe told them you could have eaten it. We know that Aaron told them there's a reason why we didn't. What was the reason why, in fact, in the first place, they did not eat it and rather they burnt it? Is it because of Aninus or is it another factor? So that's what we're going to discuss now. There's two different opinions of Tanoim on the subject. So Titania, we learn a brisa. Now, Ninus Srafua, one opinion is that they burnt it because they were owning him and therefore they're not able to eat it. L'chach nemo ka'ela, and therefore it says ka'ela, that Moshe says, such things happen to me, meaning that now we're owning him and therefore we're not able to give it a Nechemya. That is how Reb Nechemya learns the pasuk. So now the braisa that says that they were not told to eat it, to eat it baninus, follows Reb Nechemia. Reb Nechemia is saying they were correct in not eating it because they were oinanim. So therefore, so now obviously Moshe couldn't have very well been telling them before that Hashem said they should eat it when they're oinanim, because obviously Moshe conceded to Aaron, and therefore it can't be that he was told in the first place. So rather, Rashi explains that Moshe had not realized, as we're going to say further, that in fact they're also to eat it when they're owning him, which the Gemara is going to point out. Aaron's going to point out to him further on. A Kavachomer, Moshe did not remember that Kavachomer, and when Aaron told him, then he realized that, yes, you know what, that's true, you're not supposed to eat it as owning him, and therefore you acted correctly. So that's Reb Nechemia's opinion. So therefore, according to Reb Nechemia, to begin with, Moshe was not told they should eat it as onanim. Moshe thought they should, as he didn't realize there was a kavachomer that contradicts that. Aaron tells him the kavachomer. Moshe says, you know, you're right. Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon onanim. On the other hand, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon say no. That they tumah nisrafa. No, what happened was that they could indeed have eaten it despite the fact they were onanim. What happened was, though, that the korban became tomei. Something that was tomei accidentally touched it. If you're going to say it was burnt because of aninus, then no. Then after all three of the chatois should have been burnt. And the fact is, they only burnt one. So why wouldn't they have done the same thing with the sur of the miluim and the sur of nachshon? So therefore, obviously, it can't be that they're prevented from eating it because of oninus. It must be that it became tomei. So now Tosfos has some questions on Rashi's explanation. One thing is, so then you have to ask, well then what would Reb Nechemia answer to that? Taka, why didn't they burn all three of them? If they're not allowed to eat them when they're oinanim, now further on the Gemara is going to explain that there's a difference between Kodshe Shah and Kodshe Dirtis, but at this point the Gemara doesn't know that distinction yet. And anyway, Tosfos says there's no reason that we would assume that Moshe would make such a mistake. So Tosfos gives an explanation that no, the Gemara is assuming like this. Once Moshe says that you're supposed to eat the korbanos, then what he says. So again, Moshe is thinking that at least tonight you'll be able to eat it. At least maybe during the day you're owning him, but at least by night you'll be able to eat it. As the Gemara is going to take up the point further, why indeed they didn't leave it for the nighttime. So they could eat it at night. So in that case, so the Gemara is asking. So first we're saying that they were told that they could eat it baninus. So that would mean maybe by aninus of night. So in fact, maybe Moshe figured if they're already allowed to eat it by night, maybe by day as well. But the question is, then they should have eaten it by night. And the answer is. And the answer is we have Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia about what indeed happened over here. So before we were saying that even on Ninus by night a person is also to eat Kodshin, that would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda rather says that aninus laila is mutter, that you are allowed to eat, that you are allowed to eat korbanus when a person is allowed to eat korbanus when he's an oinin the following night after the death and the burial. So then according to Rabbi Yehuda, the only reason they burned one of them is because of tumah. But according to Rabbi Nechemia, also by night he's also at least in Kodshe Dirtis, the only thing that would be mutter is Kodshe Shah. Moshe thought that it applies to all korbanos. So Tosfos has a different way of understanding the flow of the question and answer and the proof from the braisa over here. So anyway, Rabbi Yehuda continues. First of all, then again, if it was a matter of aninus, then all three of them, then all three of them should have been burnt. The fact that only one of them was burnt means it must be because that particular one became tamei. Well, that one became tamei. The other two didn't. Therefore, they burnt that one. Dover Acher, another explanation. Another point. Rabbi Yehuda says they could have eaten it that night. Now, within that, we learned previously that we had a machloikas Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, whether aninus applies by night, the night after the death and burial as well. So Rav Shimon holds it never applies by night. Rav Yehuda holds it does, but in this case, an exception was supposed to be made. So therefore, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon can both disagree with Rav Nechemiah and say they could very well have eaten it by night. There would have been no reason to burn it except for the fact that they became tamei. Dover Acher, another explanation. Balik Pinchas Hoyeimon. After all, there wasn't just Aaron and Elazar in Isamar. There was also Pinchas. And Pinchas is not an Avelos for Nadav and Abihu. There is uncles. An uncle is not a close enough relative to sit Shiva for or to be an Onan for. So Pinchas could have eaten the Korbanos. So therefore, they would have had no reason to burn it. So therefore, the only thing we can say is that it must have become Tomei. Now, what would Rav Nechemiah answer to these various points? The Gemara is going to take up later on Amud Beis how Rav Nechemiah would answer all these points. So Shmuel is saying, in other words, that again, when we have one Braisa where Moshe was telling them, eat it even though you're owning him, that would be according to Rav Yehuda. And then, so they should have eaten all three of them. In the event, one of them became Tomei and therefore they had to burn it. According to Rav Nechemiah, they were never told in the first place that they should eat it when they're owning him, and in fact, they were not to eat it when they're owning him, and therefore they burnt it. But then the question would be, why not all three? But then there is the distinction between that when Moshe is telling them specifically about the again, you have Kodshe Shah versus Kodshe Dodas, the distinction that the Gemara is, or the distinction that Rava is going to make now, that there is still, even according to Rav Nechemiah, that there is that distinction, and therefore they only ended up burning one of them.
What did Hashem exactly tell Aaron? To eat one
Hashem
or to eat
Moshe
all the
three of them? Hashem told Aaron that they should eat the korbanos. So that's the thing. We have a quantity of Yehuda. They're told to eat the korbanos. They're told to eat the korbanos despite the fact that they're owning him. But on the other hand, one of them became Tomei, and so they ended up burning it. But then Moshe is angry with them. How did that one become Tomei, and why didn't you eat it? According to Rav Nechemiah, Hashem had not told them to eat it by minus. Hashem had told them that. So therefore they ended up burning one of them.
What did he tell them? According to Rabbi Hanina.
According to Rav Nechemiah, he didn't tell them. According to Rav Nechemiah, he did not tell them to eat it by minus, and therefore they're correctly not eating it by minus, and therefore they're burning it.
What's the whole discussion then, according to Rabbi Nechemiah?
According to Rabbi Nechemiah, the vort is then that in the end there is in fact a difference. As the Gemara is going to say now, there is a difference between Kodshe Shah and Kodshe Dodas. Rava is going to spell that out, even to reconcile the Braises, but the Gemara is going to explain later that Rav Nechemiah also holds of such a distinction, and therefore, so yes, when it comes to Kodshe Shah, when it comes to the one-time korbanos of the Miluim and of Nachshon, that by all means they should eat despite the fact they're owning them. That's an exception to the general rule. But the third of Rosh Chodesh not, Moshe did not realize that distinction, and Aaron had to remind him of it.
Uh-huh.
There is, by the way, a very interesting point that's brought in various Chassidish Sfarim, that on a deeper level, again, we're saying the one korban they burnt and did not eat was the Surah of Rosh Chodesh. Now, Rosh Chodesh, every month the moon disappears and then is reborn, which represents the cycle of history of the Jewish people. We keep on being reborn. We even though it seems sometimes we're going to disappear, we always come back again. What we say in Kiddush Levana, that the Eibishter should make the malas gimas halavana to fill up the concavity of the moon, v'lo yibashum miut, and the moon should no longer be diminished. So it's brought in various places that the fact that the moon waxes and wanes every month, ultimately we know that was because the moon complained, two kings can't use the same crown, etc., as we'll learn eventually in Masechta Chulin, Bez Hashem, but the point is, this also represents that Hashem at that point put into the world this point that there's going to be, that the Jewish people are going to have their ups and downs. But we say in Kiddush Levana that there will come a time when they won't be like that anymore, V'hoya Or Levana Ka'ur HaChama. Now, so there was a number of Chassidish Sforim that is brought from the Yid HaKadosh, and it's brought in then by Rav Tzadik HaKoyen and a number of other Sforim, that if Aaron had eaten that korban of Rosh Chodesh that day, then in fact that would have accomplished Lamalas Gimas Alavana. It would have changed the whole course of history and made it that now indeed the moon does not need to wax and wane anymore, and that the Jewish people do not need to have their ups and downs. So that was why Moshe was insisting, that you should have eaten the korban. Aaron didn't consider himself to be capable of accomplishing such a thing by eating the korban, and therefore they burnt it. So afterwards he tells Moshe, and Moshe concedes, you know what, given that, then you have a point. You might not have been able to accomplish it anyway, but originally Moshe had held that they should, on the theory that this way it would accomplish this lamalus pegima salavana to prevent that the moon does not have to wax and wane, and neither do the Jewish people anymore. Anyway, Rava gives a different answer. So in other words, on that explanation, then what Aaron is explaining to Moshe is there is a difference, as the Gemara is saying now, between Kodshei Shah and Kodshei Dirdus. There is a difference between now and future generations. There are going to have to be many future generations before we're able to accomplish that, to bring Mashiach and the Malus from Dimas Alavana. It's not time for it yet, and Moshe conceded the point. So, the Gemara, going back to the Gemara, Rava Amar, Aidi v'Aidi Reb Nechemya, both braises could be within Reb Nechemya's opinion. Well, like Kasha, can the Kodshei Shah, can the Kodshei Dirdus? There would be a difference, again, between Kodshim that are brought as a one-time thing, the Korbanus of the Miluim and the Korban and the Korban of Nachshon, which is, so those, there would be a special heter for them to eat even when they're anirus. So then there's Kodshei Dirdus, then there are Korbanos that are being brought in future generations, namely the one of Rosh Chodesh, which is going to be brought every Rosh Chodesh from now on, as long as those are based in English. So Moshe figured that what applies to one applies to the other, and Aaron tells him, no, what you heard from Hashem is only about Kodshei Shah, and it does not in fact apply to Kodshei Dirdus. So there, and Moshe conceded the point. So then in that case, that's another way of explaining the braises. He was told, kichen suvesi, kichen suvesi, etc., that I was commanded that you eat it by ninos, meaning the kodshei shah, the one-time korbanos. But on the other hand, the man, ninos nisrafa, refers to the one of Rosh Chodesh, and therefore that neatly answers the question, why only that one and not the other two? So now, Tosfos points out, Shmuel didn't want to use that explanation because he doesn't think that Moshe would have made a mistake and mixed up Kodshei Shah and Kodshei Dirdus. Again, Tosfos had a somewhat different understanding of the sugya of what the Gemara was asking in the first place. Why was it burnt because of Aninus? They could have eaten it by night. And the answer is Reb Nechemya and Reb Yehuda argue whether, in fact, they could have eaten it by night or not. And then Rava is saying, never mind that, through the both braises are appointed of Nechemya, and even within that there's a difference between Kodshei Shah, that they could eat when they're owning him, and Kodshei Dirdus, which they could not. Okay. So now we've got to understand, now let's go through the Psukim and explain how they fit according to both opinions, according to Nechemya versus Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Nechemya heichem v'tarif v'hanikroi, how exactly does Rabbi Nechemya explain the Psukim? V'rabbanan heichem v'tarif v'hanikroi, and the other Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, how do they understand the Psukim? So it's like this, Rabbi Nechemya v'tarif v'rochi. Rabbi Nechemya goes through the Psukim as follows. Moshe tells Elazar and his son of Madua la'achaltem, why did you not eat the korban? Meaning, Omalei Moshe la'Aaron, meaning Moshe is saying to Aaron, really, he's saying to Elazar and his son, but it's in Aaron's earshot, so the Gemara can call it over here that he's saying to Aaron. So he tells Aaron, Shemen nichnas doma lefnai v'lefnim, was the blood of this korban brought into the heichel, where we learned earlier in the Masechta that if it does, then it becomes possible and it has to be burnt. An interesting point the Nitziv makes is another and Avir brought Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So maybe they also brought the blood of the korban into the Kodesh Kodeshim as well. And if that's the case, then it would be correct to burn it. But is that in fact what happened? Amaloi, and Aaron says to him, no. As the pasuk says, Hein loy hova es dama. No, behold, the blood has not been brought in. Now, further on, the Gemara is going to explain another way of understanding it, that Hein loy hova es dama is part of Moshe's speaking to Aaron, which in context of the pasuk seems to be like that. But now, at this point, Reb Nechemya is understanding that, no, Moshe had said to them, Madua v'achaltem, And maybe, and he adds, did you maybe not eat it? Did you maybe not eat it because you, because, did you maybe not eat it because you brought the blood into the Heichel? And Aaron answers him, no. So then Moshe continues, so then you should have eaten it. So Moshe continues, maybe it was taken out of the mechitza, maybe it was taken out of the courtyard of the Mishkan, and therefore it became possible. Amalei. So Aaron tells him no, Bakkodesh Hosa. It was in the Kodesh, as the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says Bakkodesh. In other words, Rashi elsewhere explains that the Gemara is deducing from the wording in the pasuk. Here, maybe what we should do at this point is let's go through the Pasukim in order and then we'll see then how what we're doing. So the pasuk says Moshe found that the korban had been burnt by Yitzchak al Elazar al Yisamar. He was angry at Elazar al Yisamar ben Aaron and he saw him, the leftover sons of Aaron, lamer, and he says to them, Madua la'achaltam asachatas l'mkayim haKodesh. Why did you not eat the chatas in the holy place? Ki Kodesh Kadoshim he, because it is the holy of holies. Va'osem nasam lachem la'seisas avona eda. Hashem has given it to you to bear the sin of the of Jewish people. L'chaper aleim lifnei Hashem, to atone for them before Hashem. And, then the pasuk continues. Behold, the blood was not brought into the kodesh in the inside. You should have eaten it in the kodesh, as I had commanded. And then the pasuk continues that Moshe said that Aaron says to Moshe. Aaron says to Moshe that we brought the korbanos today, but that tikrena osi ka'ela, such things happened to me, and therefore it would be inappropriate for me to eat a chatas, and vayishma Moshe vayita beinu. So now, at this point, we're saying that according to Rabbi Nechemiah, we're understanding that the pasuk heimai hovas doma is part of the back and forth between Moshe and Aaron. Moshe says, why'd you burn the korban? Is it maybe a part that's not in the pasuk? Was it which we can deduce from Aaron's answer? Was it maybe taken with the blood taken into the heichal? And Aaron answers, no. Hey, my whole verse, Dama, the blood was indeed not brought in. So Moshe says, again, not in the pasuk, but we can infer from the answer, was it taken out of the azara? And he answers, Bakkodesh, Hosa, no, it was in the kodesh. It was never taken out of the azara, and therefore it never became possible. So Moshe says, here's another possibility. The Duma Ba'aninus Akriv Tuo of Saltura. Is it possible maybe that you brought the korban when you were owning him and thereby you made it possible? Because a Kohen Hedyot is not allowed to do the Avodah when he's an owner. Omaloi, so Aaron says, Moshe, v'chi heim hikrivu. As the Pasuk says, Aaron says to Moshe, hein hayom hikrivu. We're understanding this as a rhetorical question. Is it they who today offered the korban? So are Elazar and Issamar the ones who brought the korban? And indeed, if they did, it would have been possible. No, Ani Krafti, I'm the one who offered it because I, Aaron, are the one who's doing the avodah all day today. And a Kohen Gadol, as we've learned earlier on the sector, is able to do the avodah when he's an oyin. So there's all that back and forth. So now Moshe says, well then, given that the blood was not brought in, uvakodesh hoisa and it remained in the kodesh, then ochal totlu oisa kasher tzivesi, then you should have eaten it as I commanded. So why did you, even though you're owning him? Which means that you should eat it even though you're owning him. As we said before, now all of this part of the Gemara is following Rava's explanation before, that even Reb Nechemiah agrees that they were told it to eat it, that they were told to eat it vaninus. But again, that Moshe did not realize that there's a difference between Kodshe Shah and Kodshe Dodis. So, Omaloi, so Aaron answers to him, as the Pasuk says, Vatikrena Osi Koela, such things have happened to me, V'achalti Chatas Hayoim, if I were to have eaten the Chatas today, Hayita Ve'ene Hashem, would it be good in Hashem's eyes? It would not, because we're owning him. You were told that we should eat it baninus, shemala shemaita el b'kodshe shah. Maybe what you heard from Hashem was only as far as, in particular, the original thing that Moshe told them to eat was the mincha that was brought that day as well. That's the mincha, is kodshe kodshim, but it's also kodshe shah. It's a one-time korban that's brought for the miluim. So you can't say that applies across the board. It applies only to kodshe shah, only to kodshim. That are going to it applies only to Kodshe Shah, only to korbanos that are one time in history. Namely, and Aaron points out to him logically The Kodshe Dodis, if you think that it applies to Kodshe Dodis as well, then we can prove that not. Kavachomer mi Meiser HaKal. You can make a Kavachomer from Meiser Sheni, which is much more lenient than Kodshin. Uma Meiser HaKal Omer Torah Lo Echalti Bo'oni Mimenu. Madach, when it comes to Meiser Sheni, which is much more lenient than Korbanos, then the Torah tells us that a person has to declare, I did not eat from it when I was an Onin. In short, Meiser Sheni is also to an Onin. The Kodshe Dodis, like Koshkin, how much more so Korbanos that are being brought in future generations, then in that case we cannot eat them when we're owning them. So that is why we burnt the one of Rosh Chodesh. According to Reb Nechemya, that's the flow of the Pesukim. Moshe has asked Aaron a bunch of possibilities about the Korban becoming possible. Aaron answers it's not the case. So Moshe, none of those are the case. So Moshe says, then why didn't you eat it? And Aaron explains to him that when you were told by Hashem to eat it by Aminus, applies only to Kodshe Shah, not Kodshe Dodis. Interesting side point over here, by the way, is that one of the things Moshe had asked them, is it possible that maybe your sons offered the korban when they were owning him? And then it would have been possible. And Aaron answers, no, they're not the ones who did the avodah, I am. The question with that is, that Ramban points out, that you see the whole of these in the psukim, the flow of the psukim in Parashat Shemini, is all the korbanos were completed before Nadav and Avihu passed away. If the pasuk says that Aaron came down off the Mizbeach, having finished bringing the oil of the Chatas and the oil on the Shlomim, and only then does it say that Nadav and Avihu took their fire pans and did what they did and were killed for it. So then in that case, what does Moshe mean? Maybe they brought the korban when they were owning him, when the korbanos were brought. Nobody had died yet. So the Ramban on the Pesukim answers that maybe Moshe hadn't seen what they did. He thought that maybe they found the blood of this particular korban had not yet been sprinkled yet, and the sons of Aaron went and sprinkled it, and their own name. And Aaron tells him that's not in fact what happened. In fact, there was no blood left over to be sprinkled later, but even had there been, then nevertheless I would have been the one to sprinkle it, not my sons, and therefore, and it wouldn't matter because I'm a Kohen Gadol and I can do it when I'm an Onan. Another point, the Chok Nosan gives a more, and Or Gemara gives a simpler answer, that the psukim there don't describe Musaf of Rosh Chodesh at all. It was Rosh Chodesh, according to the majority opinion, but nevertheless, there is an opinion, by the way, there was an opinion in Sifri, and also the Ibn Ezra holds that it was actually the 8th of Nisan, so according to that, there's no Sur of Rosh Chodesh at all, but the mainstream understanding, which is what Or Gemara is following, is it was Rosh Chodesh. Well, the psukim over there don't talk about the korban of Rosh Chodesh at all. That conceivably could have been brought after Nadav and Avihu passed away, and therefore Moshe is saying, did your sons do it? And Aaron tells him that not. So again, Moshe was told then, eat the korbanos, and he didn't realize there's a difference between Kodshe Shah and Kodshe Dodis, and Aaron tells him there is such a difference. The Keren Oda points out, now Moshe apparently didn't realize this Kavachomer from Maisa. Well, in that case, then he should think to himself, then why did Hashem tell me that they can eat the korbanos by Aminus anyway? Why do we think that they shouldn't? And he explains, that's the point. In other words, Hashem had told him they should eat the Kodshe Shah when they're owning him. So Moshe understood of course, without a special heter from Hashem, they can't eat it because they're owning him. You don't need a Kavachomer for that. But Moshe did not realize that there's a difference on this day between Kodshe Shah and Kodshe Dodis, and then Aaron tells him that, no, the fact is the Kavachomer tells us that what you heard from Hashem about Kodshe Shah applies exclusively to that, and not to Kodshe Dodis. And it should apply to Kodshe Dodis as well. And Aaron tells him that. Then Aaron tells him that not. So to finish off, then Miyad by Yishma Moshe by Yitzav Be'enav. So then to round out how the Pesukim are understood according to the Nechemia, the pasuk says Moshe heard and it was good in his eyes, which means Hodev Lo Bosh Moshe Lo Melo Shamayti. Moshe conceded to what Aaron said. He was not embarrassed to say, I did not hear this. Ela Omer Shamayti V'Shachachti. Rather, he said, I heard from Hashem what you had said, including the Kavachomer V'Shachachti, but I forgot that point. Now, an interesting point is, what do you mean that Hodev Lo Bosh? What would we expect Moshe to, would we expect Moshe to not say the truth? Of course, if Aaron points out the facts to him, of course Moshe is gonna concede. What is the Gemara saying that he wasn't embarrassed to say? There's an explanation, the Maharal and the Mizrahi on Rashi over there. He could have just said, I didn't hear from Hashem what the halacha was by Kodshe Shah. You can tell Aaron later that you're right, but Moshe didn't cover up for it, that he didn't say, Lo Shamaiti, I didn't hear yet from Hashem, but I'll hear later on and find out what it is. He admitted right away that he had heard the halacha and forgotten it. The Chassam Sofer has a very interesting explanation of it, that what happened was, again, as we're saying, Moshe had heard that Tadshe Shah is allowed. He hadn't heard anything about Tadshe Dodas. Moshe himself came up with the idea that it applies to Tadshe Dodas as well. But Aaron points out to him that there's a difference. Now, so when we say, so what does it mean, in other words? The Chassam Sofer explains, it comes out that Moshe was basing himself in that particular detail on his own conclusion, on his own svara, rather than what he heard from Hashem. Now, the problem is, people might think in the future, well, wait a minute, if we can't trust Moshe on this, if Moshe got this one wrong, who knows what else he got wrong? Can we trust anything that he brought us from Hashem? But if he forgets, okay, people forget, it happens. So therefore, but Moshe was not embarrassed to say, and he didn't worry about that possible repercussion of it. The fact is, it's true. I did hear it from Hashem, and I did hear something from Hashem, but not all of it. And I deduced the rest myself and got it wrong. And he wasn't embarrassed, and he didn't worry about what's going to be the future if he says this, he doesn't have to worry about that it will harm people's amuna in the Torah that he taught, because midvar sheker tirchak, ultimately when it comes to matters of MS, you can't play games with it. So therefore, that's what it means, that was Moshe's greatness, that he didn't start making cheshbonus that I need to preserve the integrity of the Torah. Instead, he just said, I did hear this from Hashem, exactly what you said, but I forgot that point. So all of that is the way Reb Nechemya would learn the Pesukim. Tosfos, by the way, points out that the Gemara elsewhere mentions that Maaser Sheni has stringencies over Korbanos, in that, for example, if you're going to redeem it, you have to redeem it on daf coinage and not anything else. So Tosfos over here leaves the question open. Rabbi Akiva Eger and Gurion Ashas refers to a Gemara elsewhere in Shabbos that explains the Gemara will use that point only when we're talking about redeeming it. We're here, that point is not relevant. Now, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon heichem etarutzi lahu. How Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon understand the pesukim? So they go as follows: heichem etarutzi lahu. They understand the pesukim as follows. Moshe starts off saying, "Badu alay chatos chatos mukay makodesh. Why did you not eat the chatos in the holy place?" Meaning, again, shemen nichves damel lefnai velefnim. So it starts off with the same discussion: was the blood of it brought into the heichel? Omaloi, and Aaron answers him, "Hey, my hubas damel lekodesh v'nima. The blood was not brought into the heichel. That's not the problem." Moshe asks, Shema chutzim chitzase yotzes, was it taken out of the mechitza, was it taken out of the azara? Omer loy heim b'kodesh hoisa. Aaron answers him, no, it remained in the kodesh the whole time. Moshe asks, v'duma ba'aninus akritua upsaltua, maybe you were makriv it when you were owning him, and thereby you passed it. Omaloi. So Aaron says, Moshe, again, he says, Moshe, heine kivua, or pas the bohu aninus. You're telling me, you're thinking that they offered it, and it's true, they're koinim ad yotim, and if they had, then they would pass it being oninim. No, ani kravtia, I'm the one who offered it. But now, remember, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon had learned before, the problem was not, in fact, aninus, the problem was that the koinim became tongue. So Moshe says, "V'duma agav miraraychu v'shaitu bo v'itamoi." Actually, in Shmuel's explanation we had before that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon had said that the korban became tamei and therefore they burnt it. So now, in our analysis of the pesukim, Moshe asked them, "V'duma agav miraraychu," maybe because you were so embittered by the fact that Nadav and Avihu passed away, you were careless with it, v'itamoi, and therefore it became tamei, and therefore you burnt it. So then Aaron tells him, Moshe, do you think of me like that I would disrespect the Kodshim of Hashem and not watch them diligently? When he continues, there happened to me things such as this. Now, Rabbi Nechemiah had explained before what Tikkun Osi Kaela means, exactly that. Relatives of mine, my sons, passed away, and therefore I'm an Odin, and therefore I can't eat, and therefore maybe some Korbanos we can eat, but not all of them, because Kodshe Shah versus Kodshe Dodas. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are understanding differently. Even if another Aveilus like this would happen to me. Even if more relatives of mine would pass away like that, I would not treat the Kodshim of Hashem disrespectfully and allow them to become Tomei. Omaloi, so Moshe says, well, the E Hamlo Hova's Dhamma, Uva Kodesh Hosa, Ochol Toklois about Kodesh Kashetzi Lazy. Then you should have eaten it in the Kodesh like I commanded you regarding the Mincha. Ban Ninus Yeflua, that you should eat it when you're in him. So why did you burn the Chatas? And the Gemara is going to take up the point further on why they couldn't have Pinchas in here. But anyway, Omar Loi, so Aaron answers him in this version, Shemaloi Shemaita Ela Balayla. You know what? What you heard from Hashem is that we're able to eat it tonight. To eat by Yoim, because if it's that we have to eat it by day, then again, we have, like Reb Nechemiah had said, Kavachomim Maisir Hakal, then we make a Kavachomer from Maisir, which is more lenient than Kodshim, and say that that we can't eat it by day when we're earning them. Again, which is more lenient, the Torah says that I can't eat it when you're an oinin. Kodesh chomer lekolshkin, how much more so kodeshim, which are chomer. Miyad, so in this version, by Yishma Moshe, by Yitavainav, again, loy bosh Moshe, loy meloy shamaiti, Moshe was not embarrassed to say, I did not hear that there's a difference between the day and the night, ela shamaiti v'shachachti, but rather he says, I did hear that distinction, but I did hear that in fact by night you would have been able to eat it, but not by day. But he says Shemaiti b'shachachti, I heard from Hashem that distinction, but I forgot and I thought that you could have eaten it that you could have eaten it by day as well. Tosfos brings up the point that before we said Rabbi Yehuda does hold. We said Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue whether Aninus applies by night. Daraisa, Rabbi Yehuda holds it does. Well, then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the same kavachomer that Aaron is telling him by day should also apply by night. So the Chof Nosan gives an answer. Fine, but the main aninus is by day, not by night, and therefore you could say when the Torah is telling them that they can eat certain korbanos when they're owning him, so then it would be only by night, but by day we would still say the kavachomer. So in other words, again, according to that way of looking at it, by day indeed they would have been able also to eat all of them, but by night. They would have been mutter to eat, at least the kodshe shah, maybe, but if not the kodshe dovs. So the Gemara asks, well, in that case, they should have kept the korban and eaten it that night. And the answer is, it's true, but they would have, but tumah ba'onis basa, but a tumah happened ba'onis. And now before, Moshe had asked Aaron, did you maybe because you were embittered, therefore you didn't pay attention, and therefore you wound up, and therefore the korban wound up becoming Tomei. We said that Aaron had said, I would not be Mevazah Kodesh Shemayim like that, but meanwhile there was some kind of onus, and therefore it became Tomei. Well, onus, look, onus Rachmana Patre, and therefore Moshe understands that and accepts that, and accepts that. So one of the Mephoshim, Taras HaKodesh, explains that the flow of the discussion was that the Moshe says, fine, I understand you had to leave it for the night, but actually he's saying, why did you have to leave it for the night? You should have eaten it by day, and it wouldn't have had a chance to become Tomei. And Aaron explains to him, the earliest we could have eaten it is tonight, and meanwhile an onus happened. There is, by the way, a Rashi sicha in Chelek Chof Zayin that ever analyzes Rashi's comments on the pasuk, and the contrast between them and our Gemara over here as far as the expression of what Moshe was telling Aaron and what Aaron answers back here. In both versions, Aaron mentions a kavachomer from Meiser, where Rashi doesn't mention that in the pasuk. So the Rebbe develops the idea over there that according to Rashi, Kodshe Dodas are actually considered more chomer than Kodshe Shah. The fact that they're, and therefore, so just because there's a heter, by Kodshe Shah doesn't apply to Kodshe Dodas, as opposed to our Gemara over here is saying that Kodshe Shah are in fact more chomer, and therefore we need, the fact that Kodshe Dodas you can't eat when you're an Onan, you need a Kavachomer, you can't just say that you're from Meiser, you can't just learn from directly from Kodshe Shah. And the Rebbe goes on to explain that the difference is, first of all, there's really two kinds of Kodshei Shah. There are ones that are one-time thing, and they don't really have an effect for the future, and there are ones that do. The Korbanos HaMiluyim, and the Korbanos of that day, the Kodshei Shah of that day, are meant to have a future effect, because they make the Mishkan have its official Kedusha. Now, so the question is, though, does that apply? Does that extend even to the eating of them? So Rashi on the pasuk will hold that that's just considered that even if we say that kodshei doros are considered more stringent, nevertheless though the eating of them is not, and therefore the eating of them we don't say that he could do with kodshei doros when they're owning him, as opposed to the Gemara is taking the view that the eating is an essential part of the kapara, and therefore would have been also considered like kodshei shah, except for the fact that that Aaron tells him, in fact, there is a difference. In fact, this particular one is kodshei doros, and therefore, it has different rules. The Rebbe goes on to talk about also Rashi's expression is that he says hoydav lo boshloim lo shamaiti. He admitted, and he was not embarrassed to say, I did not hear it. Rashi doesn't say anything about him forgetting. Or Gemara says that he forgot. Because here we're talking about that it's a kava chomer, which depends on svara, and therefore so Moshe can say that he forgot that there was such a kava chomer. Whereas according to Rashi, it depends on the question: is the eating of the korbanos part of the kapara of it or not, or does it something a one time thing, or does it apply across the board? And therefore, so he just says lo shamaiti, I did not hear that point from Hashem. But Rebbe ends up learning an interesting hurrah from this. You have Kodshei Doros represents things that are done generation after generation. All Jews do them the same way. Kodshei Shah is you have a new hurrah, a new mivtzah, or something from the Rebbe, from the Nasi Ador, from Gdolei Yisrael. So those kinds of, so when it comes to things that we do generation by generation, it's not so hard to keep on doing it. The Yetzirah doesn't prevent a person. But when you have something new, the Yetzirah is likely to interfere and say, wait a minute, this is something new. We never needed it before. Who says we need it now? And so on and so forth. So now we need to know that Kodshei Shah, in fact, are even more important in a way than Kodshei Doros, and you have to burn them. Don't do them because of Tainu. Don't do them because you're having pleasure. Just you can't allow the Yetzer Hara any foothold there at all, so you have to burn them. That's a deeper explanation of this distinction between Kodshei Shah and Kodshei Doros. Okay. Getting back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, b'shleima l'rabbanan. Now let's continue analyzing this. We can understand according to the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that again, Moshe had told them that they can't eat it, even by day, even though they're owning him, by Kodshei Shah, and then by night they could have eaten Kodshei Doros, and the only reason they didn't end up eating it is because it became tamei. That is why Aaron answers Moshe and says, if I would have eaten the chafas today, Hayika Bein Hashem would have been good in Hashem's eyes, because the heter of Aninus is only by night. El Rem Nechemya, but Rem Nechemya holds that they could have eaten them by day as well, that Kodshei Shah are mutter both by day and by night, and Kodshei Doros are also both by day and by night, my hayoyim. Then what does Aaron mean with his word hayoyim? So he's saying that they burnt it because of aninus, because there's no point in keeping it to the night, because anyway, we can't eat it by day or by night. So then in that case, what is Aaron saying with the word hayoyim? And the answer is choyvas hayoyim. What Aaron means is something that's an obligation for today, the Sor of Rosh Chodesh. You're telling me that I should have eaten the korban of Chovas Hayoyim, but no, if I were to eat the chatas of today, the chatas which is supposed to be brought specifically today, because Rosh Chodesh, Hayita Ba'ini Hashem, would it be good in Hashem's eyes? It would not, and therefore we burnt it. So in other words, according to the Chachamim, the flow of Aaron's words is v'achalti chatas hayoyim. If I were to have eaten, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the flow is v'achalti chatas hayoyim. If I would have eaten a chatas today, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, we punctuate the pasuk v'achalti chatas hayoyim. If I were to have eaten the chatas of today. The Gemara says, "Vishleim l'Rav Nechemya." Let's analyze further. According to Rav Nechemya, it's easy to understand the words in the pasuk. Kind of did hein hayoyim, that Aaron says to Moshe, behold, today they had offered, meaning this korban, which is an obligation for today. Today being Rosh Chodesh, then did they offer it? When it was offered, would we have been able to eat it? We would not. In other words, so he's saying hein hayoyim hikrivu, not just hein hikrivu, means the korban of today. So therefore, so it was offered, but we can't eat it because we're owning him. Elo rabbanon my hein hayoyim, but according to the rabbanon, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, why are we saying hayoyim? According to them, there's no difference between kodshe dodos and kodshe shah. The difference is between day and night. So the answer is Hafi Kama. According to that version, what Aaron means is Cain Hikrivu. Do you think that they were the ones who offered the korban? Ani Hikravti, I'm the one who offered it. They couldn't because they're owning him and they're carrying him and booked him. And I did because I'm the Kohen Gadol and I'm able to bring the korban. So one point of it is, in other words, are the words hein hayoyim a statement, or are they a statement, or is it a rhetorical question? So now we're understanding that the words hein hikrivu are rhetorical question. Whereas the Gemara had said, according to Rabbi Nechemia, you can say it's a statement. Hein hayoyim hikrivu, this korban they was in fact brought today because it's hayoyim, it's the korban of today. But nevertheless, we can't eat it because we're owning him. Okay. Toysfos brings a different gusa and says that the question is the other way around. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia, we understand it says hein hayoyim and it's a statement. And then Rabbi Nechemia is saying, what is hayoyim? And then according to Rabbi Nechemia, what does hayoyim mean? And according to him, it's a question. Do you think that they offered the korbanos today? So the Gemara continues. So now we said before in the Braisa that explains, now we understand the flow of the Pesukim according to both opinions. In both of them, Moshe is asking Aaron a bunch of questions about is there any particular reason why this korban was burnt? And then in the end, according to Nechemia, the answer is because we're owning him and we're not able to eat kodesh dodos, only kodesh shah. And according to Yehuda and Reb Shimon, the answer is we could have eaten it by night because kodesh shah or kodesh dodos, we are allowed to eat by night. However, the korban became tameh and therefore we weren't able to. Now, Omer Mar, now we learned on Omer Aleph, when we brought the original Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Nechemia, we said Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon asked on Rabbi Nechemia a couple of questions. First of all, Omer Mar, for you were shloshim, she is sofu. In that case, they should have burnt, if you're saying it's because of Oinonus, they should have burnt all three of them. So the Gemara says, my shloshim. First of all, let's figure out which three korbanos are we talking about. So the answer is the Tanya. We learn in the Braisa. Now all this time we've been identifying what the three korbanos are, but the Gemara is now going through. We don't know that yet. We have to deduce from the Pesukim which it was, and then we're going to see. So the Tanya. The pasuk is ve'es seirah chatas dorish dorash Moshe. It says the goat for the chatas Moshe looked after it, investigated to find out what happened with it. And found that it had been burned. The Gemara mentions in Kiddushin, by the way, that these two words, Doresh, Dorash, are the middle words of the Torah. Anyway, so what's the expression, Seir HaChatas and Dorash? Seir is Seir Nachshon. When it says the goat, that refers to the one that Nachshon brought with his korbanos. When it says Chatas, Zuchatas Shmini, that refers to the special Chatas that was being brought because of the eighth day of the Milurim. Rashi points out also that what happened was the first 7 days of the Miluim, they began the Miluim on Chof Yom Adar. Every day Moshe would put up the Mishkan, they would bring that day's Korbanos, and then Moshe would take down the Mishkan, and then on the eighth day, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, it remained up, and that day, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, Notal Eser HaTorahs, there were 10 crowns, 10 unique things on that day, and among them, and then in that day was the eighth of the Miluim, and that was when the Nisim also began bringing their Korbanos. So when it says chatas, zuchatas shmini refers to the special chatas for that eighth day of the Miluim. And when it says dorash, when it says that Moshe investigated, that means sorosh Rosh Chodesh, means Moshe was investigating to find out what happened with the goat of Rosh Chodesh, because it's Rosh Chodesh that day. Again, there is an opinion, Rabbi Akiva in Sifri and Eben Ezra on the Pesukim, that in fact the Miluim began on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and the eighth was the eighth of Nissan. But our Gemara evidently is not following that. Okay. Now, Yochol Shloshtem Nisruhu. Now, you would think that this means that all three Korbanos were burnt. No, Talmud Loimar. Therefore, the Pasuk is Vihine Sorach. The Pasuk says, and behold, it was burnt. From which we learn, Echad Nisra Veloy Shloshtem. One Korban was burnt, not all, Veloy Shloshtem Nisruhu, not all three of them were burnt. So now, when it says Dorash Dorash, when Moshe investigated, why the double expression Shtei Drishis Lama Li? Why does it need Lama Shtei Drishis Lama? Why does it need to say twice? Why does it need to say Dorash? Omalahu, he asked them Mipnei Ma Chafas Unisrufa VeElu Munachas. Why is it that this one korban was burnt, and why is it that these were left for the evening? Following the opinion that we said before, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that they left the other ones for the eating, according to for the evening. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, it would be, and in fact, Sifri has it this way, that he found that one korban had been burnt, so why was this one burnt, and why were these, and why were these eaten? So which one was it that they burned? The Enya De Ezahu, you wouldn't know which one was burnt. When Moshe tells them, this is the one that Hashem gave you to bear the sin of the Jew, of the congregation, of the Jewish people, then you have to say that this refers to the Seir of Rosh Chodesh, which we learned in Masechta Shavuos, that the Seirim that are brought on Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tovim are all bringing a kapara for Tumas Mikdash for Kodeshav, when a person entered the Bais Mikdash or ate Kodeshim when he was Tomei in certain scenarios. So that's the one that's referred to as Vaseisas Avona Eda. There is, by the way, Rashi mentions on the Psukim with Nachshon's korban, actually with Sanov and Sura's korban, the second Nasi, Rashi explains that the goat was l'mechaper from Mechiras Yosef. So there is a kapara in the Sur of Nachshon as well, but it's a different kind of kapara. It's not a kapara for Avoin Ha'eda, for an ongoing Aveda that people might do of becoming Tomei. It's for a one-time thing in Jewish history. Fine. So that's what we mean by that there were three goats, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are pointing out to Rabbi Nechemiah, point to you, that they couldn't eat them because they're owning him, then why didn't they burn all three of them? So the Gemara says, Shapuka Amulei. Well, then Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon seem to have a good point. Taka, why, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, is only one burned? And the answer is, Rabbi Nechemiah the Taimei. Rabbi Nechemiah is following his own swara. Dama Kodshe Shaol, possibly Behu Aninus. The whole point is, we've been saying that according to Rabbi Nechemiah, it's true they can't eat them when they're owning him, but Kodshe Shaol are an exception and they could. And therefore, two of out of these three are Kodshe Shaol, and therefore they ate them. Omar, so we said Rabbi Yehuda pointed out that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon pointed out another question to Rabbi Nechemiah. Hoyaloi la'oichla la'erev, they should have eaten it that evening if it's a matter of aninus, because at night they won't be owning him. As we said before, Rabbi Yehuda does hold that aninus by day is that aninus by night is the raisa as well, but he would say that this was an exception to the rule. But according to Rabbi Nechemiah, why didn't they keep it for the night? So again, Shapur Kamrile, don't they have a good question? And the answer is Kasava, Aninus Laila Daraisa. Rabbi Nechemiah holds that Aninus by night is Daraisa. And in fact, Rashi points out, this is where Rabbi Nechemiah learns that point from. That precisely because they didn't eat it, because they couldn't have eaten it that evening. Rabbi Nechemiah would hold that in future generations, yes, Aninus Laila is also Daraisa, and you can't eat Kodshim. But when it comes to this particular day, it was Mutter. Because as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he doubtions that Hagyoim, as we said before, today I'm also, but tonight I would have been Mutter. However, it became Tome in between. But Rabbi Nechemiah holds there's no such distinction, and therefore he says that today, and therefore they couldn't have eaten it by night as well, and therefore they and by night and by the next day already it would be noiser, and therefore the chatas had to be burnt. Okay. Dover Acher, another point we said that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon pointed out to Rabbi Nechemiah, Vale Pinchas Hoyeimon, wasn't Pinchas together with them, and he's not an Oinin, why didn't he eat the korban? So the Gemara says again, Shapur Kamulei, isn't that a very good point? Why indeed didn't they give it to Pinchas to eat? The answer is Sova like Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Nechemiah holds like Rabbi Lazar, Omer Rabbi Chanina, Loniskan Pinchas Hachahogra Lezimri. Pinchas did not become a Kohen until years later when he killed Zimri at the end of Parshas Balak. So at this point, he was not a Kohen yet. Now the Kohuna goes to Aaron and his sons, but it was only, Rashi explains on the Psukim, that only Aaron and his sons any of their children, any of their sons, any of their male descendants who would be born after that. Pinchas was already born at that time. We find them in the list in the genealogy in Parashas Shmos before they left Mitzrayim, and therefore he didn't get the kahuna on his own. So therefore he didn't get the kahuna automatically inheriting from his father Elazar. But instead, when he killed Zimri, then Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, Hashem says, "Vahoyz the loyal Zare Achra Gris Kahuna Solam." It will be for Pinchas and his descendants after him as a covenant of kahuna forever. So therefore, but that was at the end of the 40 years in the desert. You were talking the beginning of the 40 years, the beginning of the second year, and Pinchas is not yet a kohen, says Rav Nachman. Rav Ashi says it wasn't even then. It was even later on. Some sholem ben ashvatim. It took until Pinchas made peace between the shvatim. You have a story in Sefer Yoshua as follows. Shevet Reuben and Gad and Hatzi Shevet Menashe had asked for territory on Eber HaYarden. Moshe gave it to them on condition that they go help the Jewish people, the rest of the Jewish people, fight and conquer Eretz Yisrael. In the event, they stayed there not only during the 7 years of conquest, but even during the 7 years when they're dividing up Eretz Yisrael and giving each person his portion. Finally, 14 years have passed and they're ready to return home. Now, as they're heading back to their homes in Eber HaYarden, the pasuk describes by the banks of the Yarden, these 2.5 shvatim built a giant mizbeach. All the other shvatim got alarmed. Wait, they're building a mizbeach. Does that mean they're going to start bringing korbanos outside the Mishkan, which is usur, and they were ready to go to war against them? But first they sent a delegation of the Nesiim of the shvatim, along with Pinchas, to check out what's going on over here. And Reuben and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe explain, on the contrary, no, we're not building this Mizbeach Chas V'Shalom. We would never do such a thing to build a Mizbeach to bring Korbanos outside the Mishkan and Shiloh. No, just the opposite. This is meant as a symbol that in future generations, people from the west side of the Yarden, from Eretz Yisrael proper, might say to our descendants, you know what, you're not really Jews. You're across the Yarden from us. What do you have to do with the Mishkan? What do you have to do with anything? So we built this Mizbeach as a symbol of the one in Shiloh to represent that we have a connection with the Mishkan in Shiloh, and we're Jews just like the rest of you. And Pinchas accepted that explanation, and therefore averted the war. So now Rav Ashi says, only then did Pinchas become a Kohen. Shenema, as it says in the passage, Vayishma Pinchas HaKoyin, Unesiyei Ha'eda V'roshei Alfa Yisrael V'goyim Pinchas HaKoyin, and the heads of the, and the Sanhedrin, and the heads of the thousands of the Jewish people, and the Nesiim, they all heard what Reuben and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe had said. Now here, he's being called Pinchas HaKoyin, so that stresses, in other words, that now, for the first time, he became a Koyin. Rashi points out, he's usually called Pinchas Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron HaKoyin. Here it says Pinchas HaKoyin. Ben Yehoyada points out also, the same way as it says Aaron HaKoyim means the line of Koyim in the future descends from him, the same way Pinchas HaKoyim means the line of Koyim Gdolim in the future descends from him. Tosfos points out that what would have happened was, in other words, he was appointed a Koyim in Moshe's times, but they didn't accept him as a Koyim yet. The Jewish people were not willing to accept him as a Kohen yet. After all, he had killed Zimri, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, and then we know that they were making fun of him and saying that he did it for improper motives and so forth, and not everybody was willing to accept him as a Kohen until he made peace between the Shvatim, and then they officially dressed him in the clothes of the Kohen and had him do the Minchas Chavitin, and then anointed him and made him that now he's officially a Kohen. So in fact, the Keren Oda points out within that it could be Pinchas already became a Kohen from when he killed Zimri, insofar as that he can eat Kodshim and he can't marry a Grusha and so forth, but he can't actually do the Avodah until they accept him. And that's Tosfos says once they accepted him, then they did his official inauguration. Okay. So now the fact is that we seem to have two different opinions when he became a Kohen. So the Gemara says, "V'idach nami v'oksiv v'oksiv hoisaloy lazareach." The pasuk says it should be for him and his descendants, and that was after Zimri. Well, after he killed Zimri. So how is Rav Ashi going to explain that? So fine, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are not going to be bothered by that. It means that he became a Kohen together with Aaron. The pasuk is telling that in the future, the Kohen and Gerdim will be descended from him. He's going to have that source. But according to Rabbi Ashi, who says he didn't become a Kohen until later on, then how does he explain the pasuk for Hoysalo Zareah? The answer is, Hiksivahu bibracha, Hiksiv. That's saying a bracha. He's going to have a bracha that in the future he will be a Kohen. And again, to a certain extent, he's a Kohen now, but not completely, as Tosfos says. Okay, the idoch nami hoksiv vayishma Pinchas HaKoyin. According to the other explanation, why does it mention Pinchas HaKoyin in connection with the story of the 2.5 Shvatim? The answer is L'yachas Zarei Achrav. That tells us that now he became a Kohen, even to the extent that now his children have the distinction of Kohen, of Kohuna, and even of Kohuna Gdola. After that, that this was a special thing that Hashem gave him for the S'chus that he made Shalom from Nishmatim, that now most of the Kohen and Gdolim in the future descended from him. And again, that's why he's called now Pinchas HaKohen, in a similar vein to Elazar HaKohen, meaning that he's the beginning of a line. So the Gemara continued. Okay, so that explains that again. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are saying they could have given the korban to Pinchas to eat, and Rabbi Nechemiah is saying at this point of the Miluim, Pinchas was not a Kohen yet, and therefore he couldn't eat anything. Okay, now let's consider though another point. Omer Rav. Rav also says Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol, v'cholek v'kodesh shemayim hoya. He was able to get a portion of the kodshim. Shenema, as the pasuk says, me'ela miluim, from the ram that they brought for the korban miluim, from the korbanas miluim, l'moshe hoya l'mana, it was given to Moshe as his portion. Usually the chazer v'shoik is given. Usually the chazer v'shoik is given to the kohenim. In this case, the chazer exclusively was given to Moshe. So therefore, we see Moshe was a Kohen. At least during the Shiva Simei Miluim, he was considered a Kohen. And Rav is saying he wasn't just a Kohen; he was a Kohen Gadol. Therefore, so he actually has the distinction of Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, Nasi, though, I have a contradiction. We just said before that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon asked him, Nechemiah, Valet Pinchas Hoyemayan, that Pinchas was there, and why didn't they give him the korban to eat? And Rabbi Nechemiah answers, Pinchas was not a Kohen yet. The in Issa, if you're telling me, like Rab, that Moshe is a Kohen too, Lema Valet Moshe Rabbeinu Hoyemayan, you can say that Moshe Rabbeinu was with them, and he could have eaten the korban, because he's not an Oinan either, not of an Aviyu, or his nephews. The answer is, Dilma Chani Moshe, fine, but it might be different with Moshe. He couldn't eat the korban, detorted the shchina. He's busy all the time talking to Hashem. Dilma Mab, Moshe Vashkama Ola, or Vashkama Yoran. We find before Matan Torah that Moshe would go up first thing in the morning every day to Har Sinai, and then he would hear that day's message from Hashem, and also he would come down early in the morning. So therefore, he's always going up and down the mountain to talk to Hashem, and here the inauguration of the Mishkan is still taking place at Har Sinai, and therefore he's busy all the time. So therefore, he doesn't have the time to eat. One of the Mephoshim, Yelos Shachar, points out, look, Moshe had to eat sometime, no, and he also isn't necessarily going up the mountain, down the mountain all the time. The question is why indeed is the Gemara saying that Moshe is so busy and he couldn't have eaten it on the face of it, he could have found the time for it. In any case, he didn't, so fine. So that's the question then. So the question was again that Moshe should have eaten the korban, and the answer is he's too busy to eat. Okay, the Gemara says Macy. I have another contradiction now. A brisa says lechem alekav mikodshei kadoshim and kadoshim yoichol. The pasuk says that a kohen baal mum that he can eat from kodshei kodshim and from kodshim kalim, so that he gets a portion of it, as we learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of our parak. So now the question is, in Nemru Kodshit Kodshim, Lama Nemru Kodshit Kalim, if it says Kodshit that he can eat from Kodshim Kalim, why does it have to mention that he can eat also from Kodshim Kalim? Vim Nemru Kodshim Kalim, Lama Nemru Kodshit Kodshim, and vice versa. Why does the Pasuk have to mention that a Baal Mum can get a portion and eat from both? So the reason is, Ilu Loi Nemru Kodshim Kalim, if Kodshim Kalim had not been stated, how you see I'm a Kodshit Kodshim Uda Oifel, you know why a Koin Baal Mum is able to get Kodshit Kodshim, Shari Hutru Lazor Vlahem. Because we find a case where a Zor got Kodshei Kodshim, because you have, among the Korbanos brought during the Miluim, was a ram that was brought as a Shlomim. Now this particular one, a Shlomim is usually Kodshim Kalim, but this one had to be eaten in the Oyel Moed, so then, and only for a day and a night, so this one had the din of Kodshei Kodshim. And we see that Moshe was given a portion of it, and Moshe is a Zor. So therefore, you could say once it's mutter to a zor, then it's also mutter to a baal mum. But kodshim kalim lo yoichol. But maybe a zor should not be allowed to eat kodshim kalim, a regular shlomim, because we never find a zor getting a portion of it. Therefore, the pasuk needs to tell us that they can eat from kodshim kalim. And conversely, the ilu noy nemru kodshim kodshim, if it had not said kodshim kodshim, ho yisi oimer, then I would have said the kodshim kalim yehei oichol. You know why you can eat kodshim kalim? Shein kalim, because exactly that. They're more lenient than kodshim kodshim. The ilu doesn't apply to them, for example, the kodshim kodshim. Lo yehei oichol, maybe you shouldn't be able to eat kodshim kodshim. L'chach nemru kodshim kodshim, l'chach nemru kodshim kalim. That is why it mentions both. Now, Kotoni Mia, now at any rate, Braitha had said, Sharei Hotrula Zor Velahen. We said that we find a case where Kodshe Kodshim were allowed to a Zor, and therefore we would say that therefore that's a reason to allow it to them, the Bali moment. Now, which Zor? Lav Moshe. Don't we mean Moshe during the time of the Miloyim? And that would show, not like Rav says that Moshe was a Kohen, let alone a Kohen Gadol, he was a Zor. Amar Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes answers loy, the Bama Lazar. What we mean is, we don't mean a Zor, we don't mean Moshe. We mean during the periods, which we're going to learn about in the end of Amar Masechta, when they were allowed to build private Bamas, they were allowed to build private Mizbechas in various places in Eretz Yisrael during certain periods of Jewish history. Now this Braisa would follow the opinion that there can be a mincha is able to be offered by a bama, which we will see later in the Masech that there is a machorikus on that point. And a mincha is todshe kodshim. So now you have an example. So a kodshe kodshim, you find an example according to that opinion that a mincha can be brought on a bama, then and a zor could eat it. Because we don't find that the rules of koyanim only eating kodshim don't apply to korbanos brought on bamas. So therefore we see that there's a case where it's mutter to the zor, and therefore this braisa is not a contradiction to Rav saying that Moshe was a koyan or a koyan gadol even, because in fact the braisa when it refers to a zor is talking about a different case. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow. Beis Hashem, the Gemara is going to bring more discussion of this point of whether Moshe was a Kohen. We'll continue that tomorrow. Beis Hashem.